Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, I've been gone for a week, so I'll let you know where I've been right, where I was wrong in the meantime. Plus, an interesting quarterback matchup tonight on Thursday Night Football, and how the trend for young quarterbacks may be changing. Get to that coming up. Talk some fantasy football with Paul Charchian in about 25 minutes, and plenty to do throughout the afternoon. I referenced something on the text line last hour. Failed to give you the number. You can always text the show. 843-608-1734 to ever text the show. You can get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays or online. Just head over to charlestonsportsradio.com, click on our show page, and leave a comment for the show there. And you can always join the conversation by giving us a call, 843-608-1734. Before we get to where I was right, where I was wrong, tonight's quarterback matchup, let's first go to the phones because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
I think I was wrong with that Kentucky matchup.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Damn.
What happened?
I don't know what happened. It ain't going very well, but we could looking at the first year of Shane Beamer, so we go win some, we're going to lose some.
That's right.
It's just a game, it's called football. That's the way it goes, you know? And everybody takes it real serious, but it's a game where you win some, you lose some. So, but who we got this week?
Troy.
Oh, we have no problem with that one. I'm pretty sure of that.
All right. Well, South Carolina's favored by 7 at home against Troy. How much do you think they win by?
I think about right. 7 should be pretty good.
So you think they win by a touchdown?
Yeah, I think so. Who knows? Maybe another one, I would think.
Maybe 2 touchdowns?
Yeah, because we're talking Troy. Troy's really never been a pain, you know, like other schools. So
you can't lose to...
to get rid of that game easy enough.
You can't lose to schools that have regular names like that. You can't lose to Troy.
No, you can't.
You can't lose to a Troy. No, you can't have Troy come here and beat you. It can't happen.
Well, you got a school like Kentucky Wildcats,
That's a little bit different.
You know?
Yeah, that's a little different. But no way can Troy come into your building and win.
No. Ain't no way. We ought to win. I don't know if Luke Doty could have another crazy game throwing every pass as a touchdown. But we could sure use a win to go closer to a bowl, you know?
That's right. You need 4 more. You know anybody? You ever know anyone in your life named Troy?
Mm-mm.
No, you don't know any Troys.
If they name me that, I'll beat them up just for naming me that.
You beat them up if you were named Troy? You don't like that name? You'd beat up your parents if they named you Troy?
No, that'd be a good name for a bully to give you problems for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, if you could choose a name, if you could have named yourself, what name would you have gone with?
I like the name I've got.
Well, that's
you
good.
Know?
What
I
about
like
if you were, say, like an actor, would you give yourself a cool acting name?
If I had a cool acting name, it would be more like Kirk Douglas.
Oh, you like Kirk Douglas. You like that name.
Yeah, I like that one.
Oh.
So, you know, tough guy actor, wins every fight.
That's
right.
You
can't go wrong with that.
Not with Kirk Douglas. All right, how much do you think people should pay for this game? Troy, South Carolina. South Carolina's favored by 7 on Saturday. What would be a reasonable price for tickets for this game? What would you say?
You mean it's at a home game then?
Yeah, it's a home game. If a Gamecock fan wanted to go to this game, what would be a reasonable price? How much should they have to spend to go to this game on Saturday?
$10 at least.
$10? Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a bargain. Tickets are as low as $22 for South Carolina and Troy. It's the second lowest in the SEC this weekend. It's a great weekend of SEC football. You know what the cheapest tickets in the SEC are this weekend? If you know the schedule, you know what game it is. It's UConn at Vanderbilt, which is a 7:30 game for whatever reason on Saturday. And tickets are available for $2. UConn-Vanderbilt Saturday night. They're a combined 1-8. Vanderbilt just lost by 60 points. UConn hasn't won a game in 2 years. They're two embarrassments. $2. You want to go, if you are in the Nashville area this weekend, you want to go see some college football, you could see UConn and Vanderbilt for $2 this weekend. Tell you what, they should be paying you to go to that game. That game shouldn't even be on TV. Just taking up space, UConn and Vanderbilt. Very intriguing weekend of college football, and that is a matchup as well because that's like the battle for last place. Right, the line I always use is when you have bad teams like that, trying to find, it's like you're the smartest kid in summer school. That's the case. Whoever wins this game, it doesn't really mean much. You're the best of the worst teams in the country. Congratulations. UConn, Vanderbilt, $2 to get you in there in Nashville Saturday night. How about that? South Carolina, the second cheapest ticket this weekend as they play Troy. Every week on the show, I let you know where I'm right, where I'm wrong. We give you big opinions in the football world especially. And so I'll brag when I get things right, but I'll also hold myself accountable when I get things wrong. I was off for the past week, so we have plenty of both. Where I was right, where I was wrong.
Where Luke was right.
Sam Darnold, I'll continue to take a victory lap. Now, as we open the show, he's going to be tested this weekend against the Cowboys without Christian McCaffrey. But Sam Darnold so far, second most passing yards for a quarterback who won their first three starts with a new team. So of the quarterbacks who have gone 3-0 with their new team, and then the passing yard, Sam Darnold with the second-best start, only behind Kurt Warner with the Rams, who, by the way, won the MVP that year. So that's how good Sam Darnold has played so far with his new team. We usually don't see quarterbacks get off to this good of a start with a new team. But Darnold, this is showing, just like Matt Stafford with the Rams. You put a quarterback in a good position, sometimes it is the team holding them back. Sam Darnold has looked really good. Now, a big test coming up this weekend against the Cowboys without Christian McCaffrey.
Where Luke was wrong.
My picks. Now, a lot of people I talk to that are, you know, that are willing to make some picks or gamble on sports, everybody had a down weekend. This must have been a good weekend for Vegas. But it was the first losing week in a few weeks for my picks. We went 4-7. 2-2 in college football, so still doing fine there. I have been awful in the NFL this year. We went 2-5 in the NFL this past weekend. So 4-7 of all the picks I gave you for this past football weekend, we are still over 500 on the year, and I will have to pick Thursday night football coming up a little bit later on.
Where Luke was right.
Justin Fields. Everyone told me how good he looked in the preseason. I had him rated as the least impressive rookie quarterback of the preseason this year. I did not understand all the hype around him. I watched every single snap he took in preseason, and I know it's preseason. You can't take too much away, but usually you can't take it away when it's positive. Right? When someone plays really well in the preseason, you say, well, it's just the preseason. If somebody doesn't play really well in the preseason, they're not going to suddenly become better in the regular season. I was unimpressed with Justin Fields. He is not ready. Now, I'm the same person that said, I think he's going to have a really good career, but you have to be able to handle him properly. Don't just throw him to the Wolves. He's not ready just yet. And we saw this past week, he made his debut as a starting quarterback. The Bears had one passing yard. You think Clemson's offense has been embarrassing? The Bears played a full game and had one net passing yard. One total passing yard in 2021. It was an embarrassment. He was sacked 9 times. Now, in Fields' defense, he didn't get much help. They only rolled him out twice. They only had 2 quarterback runs called. They only had 2 plays with max protection. They only had 4 plays with pre-snap motion. I don't know what the Bears were doing, but you saw on Sunday they got blown out by the Browns. Yeah, you know what? Maybe Justin Fields isn't ready. Maybe all those Chicago fans freaking out will realize, yeah, Andy Dalton still gives you a better chance. I think he will be really good, but it's kind of like your child. Right? Your child's born. When he turns 4, you don't tell him to go get a job. You still have to nurture him, and you have to allow them to grow, and you get them to that point where eventually they turn 16, and you think, okay, now you're ready to go work. Right? Or now you're ready to go get your license or do this or that. We don't come into this world and you don't just throw them out there and say, okay, you're on your own. We birthed you. Now it's up to you. Now you have to take some time. You're patient. You develop them. You go slowly with your kids. Same idea with a lot of these quarterbacks. You can't just throw them out there and say, okay, it's on you. You're top pick. You're going to be really good. You got to be patient. Allow these guys to grow, mature, and be ready. Justin Fields is not ready.
Where Luke was wrong.
Clemson. Everything about Clemson. My expectations this year. I thought Clemson would be in the playoff. Even when they lost to Georgia, I said, oh, that's okay. That's a good team. They'll run the table the rest of the way. Even when they struggled to Georgia Tech, I said, oh, okay, that's all right. They still won the game. They'll be fine. They'll be able to figure some things out and still win in the ACC. And I even picked Clemson to not just beat NC State, but cover the 10 points. Because I said, if I don't pick them, right, this will be the week that the offense comes together. And I'm waiting for that offense to come. But then after this past week and seeing the offense struggle yet again, I don't think this is a quick fix. I think this will continue to be an issue. So wrong just on everything involving Clemson. I thought they would win this past week and win by double digits against NC State. I did not see that loss or those struggles coming this past week. I did not see really any of these struggles offensively coming. I remember talking in the offseason about, oh, they'll be just fine. They have a great wide receiving corps. Shipley's going to be a star. We're not even at October. Their season is essentially over. They're done. You're not going to the playoff with those two losses and losing to NC State, regardless of, you know, how well NC State may have played the last 2 years. And their losing may not be done with either. So I was wrong on really everything involving Clemson. I thought they would bust out and cover the spread this past week. I thought they would be just fine this year. I was off. And I'll give you my picks tomorrow, but still, they're favored by like 15 against BC. Ooh, got my eye on that one for tomorrow.
Where Luke was right.
Along those same lines, chaos this college football season. Articles are already being written about how this was one of the craziest seasons we've ever had. 9 of the original top 25 teams already have multiple losses. Almost 30 ranked teams have lost already. Now, some of that could just be a bad job by the pollsters overrating some of these programs. But that's what we always base things off of. Those rankings and the expectations coming into the year. Clemson has multiple losses. They just lost to NC State. Iowa State has multiple losses. So much for them being a playoff team. Indiana looks terrible. UNC and Miami have been bad. So much for the ACC having that second team. Meanwhile, Arkansas is one of the top teams in the SEC. They just beat Texas A&M. Nobody is safe this year in college football. I think it's a great thing for the sport, and it's something I was warning all offseason because of everything that's gone on into this. Dealing with a pandemic, extra year of eligibility, tough non-conference, and it's playing out here in the first month like I thought in college football, where everybody's losing, chaos has erupted, and we'll see how things play out here as we try to come up with a strong playoff field.
Where Luke was wrong.
The New York Giants. The Giants lost to the Falcons this past week. Evan Ingram has been the Falcons' MVP this year. It's the only reason why the Falcons even have a win. But the Giants, they've had some close games the last 2 weeks, but they're 0-3. As Jeremy Schilling said last hour, in the words of Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. The Giants are a bad team. They have not had a winning record at any point during a season in 5 years. They have the worst record of any team in the NFL over the past 5 years. And that includes the Cleveland Browns and the Detroit Lions. I thought this was the year the Giants would take that step forward and win the division. I don't know what is wrong. They have plenty of talent. They just can't put it together. Maybe it's the coaching. First-time head coach, Jason Garrett, is calling the offensive plays. I'm not sure what the big issue is. All I know is the Giants are 0-3. I picked them to win the division. I thought they would be much better this year. But the more things change, the more they've stayed the same. This is still the same struggling franchise that finds ways to lose games like they did this past Sunday. Winning in the fourth quarter at home and losing by the end of the game to a bad Falcons team. I just whiffed on this Giants team. I thought they'd turn it around this year. Nope, turns out they're still bad.
Where Luke was right.
Asking rookie quarterbacks to do too much. It was my concern early on for Trevor Lawrence. In his very first game, they had him throw it 51 times. What are you doing? This past weekend, the Patriots had Mac Jones throw it 51 times. What are you doing? And he threw 3 interceptions at Mac Jones. He played the worst game of his young career. Trevor Lawrence has struggled early. All right, Mac Jones finally had a bad game when they had him do more. Zach Wilson coming out throwing. He had 3 interceptions in the first half against the Patriots. Take it easy with these quarterbacks. Rookie quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, when they throw it over 50 times in a game, they've gone 3-33. That's not a recipe for success. And I ran through the numbers after Trevor Lawrence. I told you, the guys who lead rookies in most pass attempts their rookie years had bad careers. featuring a lot of injuries. You want to ease your quarterback in. It's not a good idea to have him go out there and throw it over 50 times in a game like Trevor Lawrence in week one, like Mac Jones this past weekend. He had his worst performance. Why? Well, because he had to throw it 51 times against a good defense. Take it easy on these rookie quarterbacks, regardless of the hype they have coming in.
Where Luke was wrong.
Washington football team. They have the second worst defense in the league right now. Now, I picked them to cover this past weekend against the Bills, even with their backup quarterback. They lost by 22. They gave up 43 points to the Bills. This defense is not good. This division looks even worse than last year, outside of maybe the Cowboys. I thought the Washington football team would play really well in Buffalo. I thought that defense would finally show up. It did not. There's a lot of concerns, or should be, for this team. They were carried by their defense last year. That defense has gone from top five to bottom five so far. This season, it looks terrible. They have to figure some things out. Fortunately for them, they're in a bad division, so they'll have some chances to get things going.
Where Luke was wrong.
I keep screwing this up, but I went with my heart over my head, and I took the Buccaneers against the Rams. Now, I told you as I was making that pick, right, the smart play would be take the Rams, home dog, but how could you go against Tom Brady? And I was talking to one of my brothers while I was home this past week, and he said, you know, there's been a few times this year where you acknowledged when you're making a pick, right, you had the right pick originally, then you went against it. I said, I know, it's because I go with my heart over my head. I did the same thing the week prior with Patrick Mahomes. I told you the smart play would be the Ravens, but I'm going Patrick Mahomes. And it burned me. Same idea here. I warned you. Hey, the play is the Rams. Home dog in a close game, but I have to go Tom Brady. And he lost. And the Rams played great. Stafford played really well. The Buccaneers' defense has looked lousy so far, and the Bucs lost that game. So it's a warning, right? When you gamble, go with your head, not your heart. I thought, no way can Brady lose that game. He's going to go in there hearing all about Stafford and the Rams and show them they're still the best team in the NFC. And I think the Buccaneers are. That was just a bad matchup. On the road, the Rams are ready to show something. They played really well, and the Rams got that win. But I thought Tom Brady would get the job done.
Where Luke was right.
I said the Colts would take a step back this year, and they're 0-3. I put them in third place in that division. Yeah, right now they're in last place. They're tied for third or last with the Jaguars. Carson Wentz is banged up and hasn't played well, and the Colts have taken a big step back. They just lost a big game to the Titans, now 0-3. They have a really good roster. They just don't have the quarterback position. That's most important. I knew the Colts would have a down year this season.
Where Luke was wrong.
Credit to the Packers winning on Sunday Night Football. I thought that was a bad matchup for them. Now, the Niners did terribly in that final 30 seconds playing defense. Credit to Rodgers, though, getting in field goal range. Mason Crosby made the kick. That's a big win for Green Bay. As I said, this would be a big test. They struggled in week one. They played well in week two. Now let's get a real sense in week three of what we have here. They're going on the road. Sunday Night Football, San Francisco, tough matchup for them. And yet the Packers got the job done and held on for a big win on Sunday Night Football.
Where Luke was right.
The Chargers. I said the Chargers are right there with the Chiefs this year. And the Chargers just beat the Chiefs on the road. Big win for Justin Herbert. That's one of those wins that almost feels like it's worth 1.5 victories. And now the Chiefs are 1-2. They've lost three of their last four games. They're in last place in their division. Who would have thought? I don't think the Raiders and the Broncos will continue their run in that division, but if you're the Chiefs, you do have to worry about the Chargers, and you just found out why this past weekend. They just beat you in your building. And there you go. Where I was right, where I was wrong. One last one outside of football. Remember, our sleeper pick for the World Series was the St. Louis Cardinals this year. They just clinched a playoff spot yesterday after winning, 16 straight games? I don't think the Cardinals will win the World Series. They're going to have to play the Dodgers in a wild card game next week. But that was my sleeper. I think they had 25-1 odds at the start of the year. I said, hey, throw $5 down on them. And here come the Cardinals going to the playoffs and getting hot at the right time. In 2007, the Rockies were a 500 team and then played great in September and went all the way to the World Series. Maybe the Cardinals are getting hot at the right time. The bad news for them, they have a date with the Dodgers most likely in the first round next week. But the Cardinals were our sleeper pick, and here they are playing good baseball in September and heading to the playoffs. We'll see what they can do next week in the postseason. The Braves should hopefully clinch the division tonight against the Phillies. Coming up, an interesting quarterback battle tonight, and we'll get to Paul Charchian to talk some fantasy football in a few minutes as well, coming up here on the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
These
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. This song, of course, reminds me of Superbad. And that's the best part of the whole movie when they're at that party. And Michael Cera has to try to sing this song on a Throwback Thursday. Interesting quarterback matchup tonight, Thursday Night Football. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow. It's the big national debut for Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer in the NFL. Bengals favored by 7.5. We'll get to the pick coming up a little bit later on. Just the second time we've had number one quarterback go up against the number one quarterback from the next year. It happened before with Baker and Kyler Murray. But just the second matchup we've ever had with back-to-back number one picks being quarterbacks. Right? Back-to-back drafts, quarterback goes number one, and then they actually face one another. So it'll be very interesting tonight. But here's what I find interesting about all this. We'll see how Trevor does tonight. You know, we heard so much about these rookie quarterbacks. And if you go back the last few years, it seems like it's never been easier to play quarterback. Young quarterbacks are having more success in the NFL or even college football than ever before. And yet this year in football, that's not the case. You look at the NFL, bottom three quarterbacks in QBR right now in the NFL. Justin Fields is last, Zach Wilson right ahead of him, Trevor Lawrence right ahead of him. The three worst quarterbacks in the NFL this year, Fields, Wilson, Lawrence. Mac Jones has been better, but he's just 21st in QBR. And in college football, we know about the struggles of DJ, but a lot of other hyped-up quarterbacks not playing well this year. Sam Howell, Spencer Rattler, who was getting booed at home this past weekend. Slovis at USC, granted he was also, you know, been banged up. Derek King, even CJ Stroud. Michael Penix coming off an injury, but has not played well at all this year. A lot of big-name quarterbacks struggling this year, and it's a little bit different than what we got used to these past few seasons, where these young quarterbacks typically come in and have success immediately. But for whatever reason this year, I don't really have a good answer for you. But the rookie quarterbacks are all struggling in the NFL, and the big-name quarterbacks in college football, just about all of them have not been meeting expectations. They have not played great. Meanwhile, it's, you know, Matt Corral and Grayson McCall and some of these other quarterbacks, Tua's younger brother at Maryland, who you weren't really thinking about that are having the most success. These young quarterbacks are struggling. Tonight will be a good test for Trevor Lawrence. Thursday Night Football, national TV, going up against Joe Burrow. Let's see how he and Urban does in still a pretty big spot for this early season game for this team. Speaking of which, we'll talk about this week in the NFL with Paul Ciarci. And when we come back, he'll help you set your fantasy football lineup as well. We'll do it next. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Touched on tonight's Thursday Night Football game last segment and this quarterback matchup, Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow, the last two number one picks. It's the start of week four in the NFL season, and to help us get set for it, to break it down, and to provide some advice for your fantasy football lineup this weekend, joining us now, as he does at this time every Thursday, is Paul Ciarcian, owner and operator of GuillotineLeagues.com. You can find his free player rankings there, GuillotineLeagues.com, and follow him on Twitter, at Paul Ciarcian. Paul, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Luke. Good to talk to you. I'm sorry. We missed you last week.
Yes.
I called in just to try to, you know, be part of the station and what you're doing. It's not the same without you.
Yeah, it wasn't the same when I'm not chatting with you on a Thursday last week. I was on my own for fantasy, and fortunately we made it through, especially in our Guillotine League. I snuck by without Dalvin Cook, so staying
alive
there. How about
that? Now, have you made any big bids in our Guillotine League?
So I have to admit, I struggle in fantasy, because the majority of my leagues in my career have not been the bidding style. This is just the second year I've had to do that, and I'm not very good at reading the room when it comes to, you know, how much you should bid for. I don't think I've gotten anybody yet in our league. I take that back. I did get two players this past week bidding. But yes, that's the one area that I'm still getting adjusted to.
Well, you know, and if you're still alive and you haven't spent money, more power to you, because every week better and better teams get cut. So, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that, you know, having it work out that way at all. That's not bad. You're going to have a bunch of money, and, you know, next week, who knows? It could, you know, it's going to be a bunch of great players that get hit on the waiver wire again. That might be your chance.
Yeah, hopefully. I just got to make it there. Check out guillotineleagues.com, and we'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit to the Guillotine League and that interesting format. Week 4 begins tonight. We were just talking last segment about the game tonight, which on paper may not be the sexiest matchup, the Bengals and the Jaguars. But what about from a fantasy perspective? Do you like this game or certain players in tonight's matchup?
I do. I think there's actually a bunch of good plays in this one. You know, all the Bengals, obviously. But let me elucidate a little bit on the Bengals side, and then I'll tell you some Jaguars I like as well.
Sure.
Joe Burrow's season has been a unqualified success, 71% completion rate, multiple touchdowns in every game. And now he gets his worst opponent of the year, Jacksonville. They rank 28th in pass defense by Pro Football Focus. They're giving up 312 yards per game, despite having faced Teddy Bridgewater and Tyrod Taylor. So, you know, this is a bad defense. The fun dart throw. You know, to start, guys like Ja'Marr Chase, who's been awesome, by the way. Mm-hmm. Touchdowns of 32, 40, and 50 yards for Ja'Marr Chase in his first three games to start a career. He's the only player to have three touchdowns of over 30 yards in his first three games, history of the league. So Ja'Marr Chase has been great. Your dart throw sleeper is T. Higgins' replacement. T. Higgins is not going to play. Auden Tate will play in this game. If you are already desperate on Thursday for a guy, this might be your opportunity. Go get Auden Tate if you need to. Let's talk about Trevor Lawrence for a second. How's that sound?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's fixated on his 7 interceptions. I watched a painful amount of Jaguars football, and I'm telling you, he's a lot better than 7 interceptions. The arm talent pops off the screen, and at least 2 of those 7 interceptions were not on him at all. And he is being, I think, castigated unfairly here. And there aren't many times we can say that the Jaguars have a strong positional advantage over an opponent. But that is the case at wide receiver. Marvin Jones, DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault are better than the Bengals' cornerback counterparts. Eli Apple, Chidobe Awuzie, and Mike Hilton, all cast-off journeymen. Add in a negative game script tonight. Lawrence is going to throw a lot of passes. Volume alone could propel Lawrence to a good game and his receivers, especially Marvin Jones, who seems to score touchdowns like every game.
Yeah, so hopefully an opportunity for the Jaguars offense to get going tonight here on Thursday Night Football against the Bengals. Let me ask you about a couple of banged up running backs. I was talking to one of my brothers yesterday. He pulled off a trade. He got Christian McCaffrey for DeAndre Swift. The McCaffrey owner was looking to bail. What's your outlook for McCaffrey? Should McCaffrey owners be concerned? Do you think this could be a lingering injury? Will he be out for a while? What do you expect for him?
Well, after last year, I mean, there's no guarantees, right? I mean, last year was soft tissue injury that took a long time to heal, and now we're looking at the same thing. And, you know, we'll see Chuba Hubbard this week, but there's no guarantee when he comes back. The plan is to take it conservatively, which they did last year, and I believe they'll do that here. So I think he still misses. They didn't put him on IR, but he still misses, I think, at least 2 more games and maybe 3. And then after that, you're rolling the dice. Meanwhile, DeAndre Swift is maybe even the more important guy to talk about. He's been great.
Yeah.
Leads the NFL among all running backs in receptions. He's looked really, really strong. And yesterday, head coach Dan Campbell, the Lions, came out and said, we're going to give DeAndre Swift more work. And I think that means they're going to phase out what the work they had been giving to Javonte Williams, who frankly has looked pretty good too. But Swift is showing some special characteristics, and his pass catching ability is a boon to fantasy owners. So he's the 3rd highest scoring running back in PPR leagues. And DeAndre Swift, I'd have made that deal too. I'd take Swift over McCaffrey right now.
Interesting. Yeah, he's been playing well for the Lions. Other running backs, and I know you're not an injury expert, but you do have a good insight when it comes to this fantasy stuff. Do you expect to see Dalvin Cook this weekend, or even for Dalvin Cook owners, if he does play? You know, is he close enough health-wise that it's worth the play if he's out there?
Yeah, great question. Did practice limited fashion yesterday. We're expecting the same here. I do believe Dalvin Cook will play, but his ankle won't be 100%. And the Browns are the opponent. They're allowing the fifth fewest rushing yards, the fourth fewest yards per carry. They've yet to allow a rushing touchdown this year. They got the steal of the draft in the second round with rookie linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who has made a superhero entrance to the league, sporting Pro Football Focus's second highest run defense grade among all linebackers, not rookies, all linebackers. This has turned into a very, very tough defense. And if Cook isn't going to get as many carries as usual, Madison's earned the right to get more carries, and you have the bad ankle, and you have a tough defense, this is a tough spot for Dalvin Cook. And I think you got to show some degree of at least, you know, warning here on Cook. So I've got Cook right now sitting at running back 16, and I'm not feeling great about him even that high.
And the last banged up running back I wanted to ask you about was Darrell Henderson with the Rams. What are your expectations for that backfield, at least for this weekend?
Henderson's expected to go. Sony Michel looked particularly terrible getting the work last week, and Henderson, assuming he's healthy and again expected to go, he's sitting on what should be a good game against a bad Cardinals run defense that has been yielding throughout the season. So I actually like him. I actually like him quite a bit. He's my number 7 ranked running back this week.
Talking with Paul Charchian on Twitter at Paul Charchian. Check out GuillotineLeagues.com. See his free player rankings there. Sticking at the running back position, a guy you've been talking about since he came into the league, Zach Moss, had a big week for the Bills this past week. Is he somebody that we can depend on now here moving forward?
I think he can. He's gotten an increased number of snaps and touches in the 3 weeks because he had none in week one and has made good on it. He's running hard. He passes the eye test. He's getting goal line work, which has been very important. And he goes up against the Texans. It's a smash spot for him. Texans are allowing the 8th most rushing yards and receiving yards to opposing running backs, 153 total yards per game. Devin Singletary just isn't that good. Moss has more talent and more upside, and I think that starts to exert itself in a big way here. 3 touchdowns the last 2 games for Zach Moss.
Mike Williams from here in South Carolina has been incredible this year. Is that somebody that you would sell high on right now, or do you think this can keep up all year, that he could be, you know, a top receiver?
No way am I selling on him right now. It's his contract year. He's got a competent offensive coordinator now who knows to get him the ball, and that's been a key to this. Is he's finally getting targets. They would never throw to him before. He's like, you know, we'll throw 4 balls his way and just see what happens. And they'd be like these long, you know, like YOLO passes downfield. Now they're using Williams all over the field, and he's turned out to be fantastic. He gets Las Vegas. Las Vegas' secondary has looked good on paper, but we've seen these group of corners before, and outside of Casey Hayward, they're not good. He will see some Casey Hayward in this, who has been really good, but not just Casey Hayward, because Hayward plays one side of the field, and he won't be on that side the whole time. So I like Williams in this game, and I would not move Mike Williams. I think that is a trend, not a mirage.
For the Titans, their wide receiving core, I know A.J. Brown's a little banged up, but him and Julio Jones have combined for 19 catches this year so far, just 1 touchdown. How do you view those two? In the offseason, we were talking about the Titans having, you know, the best wide receiving duo in the league. How do you view those two here now moving forward?
Well, so A.J. Brown's not going to play in this game, and Julio Jones got taken out of last week's game, and we ended up getting touchdowns from Chester Rogers, Nick Westbrook Ikhine. And they threw a little Jeremy McNichols at us too for a receiving touchdown, which didn't help anybody either. Looks like it's going to be an ongoing problem. Now we got 2 receivers who have a history of breaking down, and that's what's happening right now. And you can, I don't know that I'm ready to throw a dart at guys like Josh Reynolds or Chester Rogers, but you know, you might have to, and it feels like you can't count on those guys. And we're back to the Titans being the team that they have been, just crushing opponents with a power running game.
Before we let you go, talking with Paul Charchian on Twitter at Paul Charchian, check out GuillotineLeagues.com. A couple of just questions for the weekend. Is there a player or maybe 2 big name, but you don't like them with their particular matchup this weekend?
Yeah, you know, I think the guy that immediately comes to mind is the highest scoring player in fantasy football, and that's Kyler Murray,
ooh,
who now gets his toughest matchup of the year, Luke. This matchup's going to test the never bench your studs crowd.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals have played the softest schedule of pass defenses. Now they go to the Rams, and the Rams have given up 2 passing touchdowns all year. And they harnessed Tom Brady to a certain degree last week. Jalen Ramsey will corral DeAndre Hopkins. They've got depth cornerbacks, Darius Williams and David Long, who can match up with A.J. Green and Christian Kirk. And you might say, Luke, you might say to me, yeah, but I'm in it for Kyler Murray's rushing. Well, in four career games against the Rams, he's never topped 28 rushing yards either. So we can't count on that. I've got Kyler Murray down at quarterback 11 this week, which is his lowest ranking, his toughest opponent of the year. And it's possible you've got another guy on your team that's going to have a better game than Kyler Murray.
Interesting. And on the flip side, you gave us somebody for tonight, but for this weekend, maybe you've already touched on them, but is there somebody that could still be available out there that if you need, go pick him up, a little bit of a sleeper for this weekend?
Taylor Heinicke goes up against Atlanta. Heinicke didn't play a great game last week. It wasn't terrible, but wasn't very good either. Falcons are the opponent, destroyed by Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady earlier this year. They're giving up 270 yards and 2.7 passing touchdowns per game. Heinicke's got good wheels, too, and Jalen Hurts ran for 62 yards against this Falcons team earlier in the season. So I like Heinicke to get it done one way or another here. I mentioned I have Kyler Murray, my number 11 ranked quarterback. Taylor Heinicke's my number 12 ranked quarterback.
Yeah, right behind him. He's Paul Charchi, and on Twitter, @PaulCharchi, and check out guillotineleagues.com. We started with the Guillotine League talk. I hope to survive till our conversation next week. For those that have been listening and that are interested, even though we're into the season, are there still Guillotine Leagues that they can join?
Yeah, we're creating Guillotine Leagues all the time. Basically, anytime there's not a football game happening, we are drafting new Guillotine Leagues. And again, the premise is you start the season with, well, what normally would be 18, now 15 teams, one for every week of the season. And there's no head-to-head. Every week, the low-scoring team for that week gets cut, and all their players go to the waiver wire, where it is pandemonium for the rest of us, which includes you, as
yes,
it turns out.
Yeah.
Yes, you've been part of the pandemonium. Now, you haven't been cut yet, but you've been able to enjoy it, which is good. But you've had a near-death experience coming in second to last once, as I look at your squad right now, Luke. But you've got Kyler Murray, who we just talked about. You're going to be starting Chuba Hubbard, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I need a big week out of him. I benefited from the McCaffrey injury. Hopefully, it's right place, right time here for me.
I know you've got an opportunity to get him in. You'll probably start Dalvin Cook, but as mentioned, that's a tough matchup. This is going to be a tricky weekend for you. You've got some interesting decisions and some good players with tough matchups. Ooh man, it's going to be very intriguing. You do not want to have a bad week. I mean, it goes without saying you don't want to have a bad week.
Right, I know. We'll see. You know, the Vikings always ripped out my heart. I thought last week they were going to cut off my head as well when Dalvin Cook didn't play, and I thought, oh, there we go. That's going to be it. But we have survived in advance. We'll see if we can make it another week to next week, and we'll talk with Charchi, of course, next Thursday as well. Check out guillotineleagues.com. Follow him on Twitter @PaulCharchi. And, Paul, appreciate it as always. We'll talk
Thanks
to you next week.
Yep. Bye, Luke.
The best in fantasy football, Paul Charchi. On Twitter @PaulCharchi. And online, like I said, guillotineleagues.com, his free player rankings. Survive in advance. That's what you got to do. Unfortunately, I had Hubbard on my bench. We'll see if he can come through for me. Hopefully, Dalvin Cook plays. Hopefully, I can stay alive. As I said, I just wanted to get past week one. It's a lot of other radio hosts and media men. I don't want to embarrass myself, you know, looking like I don't belong. I get knocked out in week one. So we've made it this far. And if I get knocked out now week four, all right, I can live with that. But we're going to try to survive as long as we can. GuillotineLeagues.com. Appreciate the time from Charch every week. He's the best at what he does. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Rob is with us. Rob, what's going on? How are you?
All right. How y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to – I was listening to that last segment, and y'all were talking about Mike Williams, and I think he's right when he said that, he's going to get a lot of opportunities, but that's simply due to the fact that they've got a guy who was – I think he was the Saints offensive coordinator, and he – as soon as he got there this preseason, I expected Mike Williams to have a big year. He's playing Mike Williams in the X receiver spot, which is what they played Michael Thomas in. So I'd expect Mike Williams to get at least 10, 12 targets every single game.
Yeah, and especially with Justin Herbert. And appreciate it, Rob. I'm keeping Mike Williams in my teams. I got him on a couple of teams, and I'm glad I drafted him. But with Justin Herbert, really good, talented quarterback, you'll have opportunities. And with that offense, like Rob mentioned, Anthony Lynn is a very conservative offensive coordinator. He's now the offensive coordinator in Detroit. And as Charge said, the leading receiver is their running back. He likes to run the football. He likes to dump it off. Very conservative guy. And the offensive coordinator under Anthony Lynn there with the Chargers was a guy who had never done it before last year. So you have a rookie quarterback a year ago, first-time offensive coordinator, Anthony Lynn, who was never a coordinator before to begin with, before coming to L.A. And now you have a better staff, Joe Lombardi calling the plays, Justin Herbert in his second year, Mike Williams is going off. And then factor in what Charch mentioned about the extra motivation of being a contract year. In case you needed a bigger, you know, another chip on your shoulder. And Williams has been, he's played like maybe the best receiver in the league so far this year. He's been excellent. Played at Clemson, of course, from South Carolina, and he's been really good this year for the Chargers. And they just got a big win against the Chiefs. I was saying all offseason, I like this Chargers team. They're right there with Kansas City, and they showed it this past Sunday. They got everything you need on offense and defense. They got a good roster, and Justin Herbert, I think, is a very good young quarterback. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour two of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time last segment from Paul Charchian, as always, breaking down the weekend in football and helping you set your fantasy football lineups. A lot of talk lately about the college football playoff expansion and about how, you know, it can't happen until 2024. Still talking about this 12-team expansion. Dennis Dodd had the report that the soonest the college football playoff can expand is now 2024. If so, an agreement will have to be reached in 4 months. If not, get ready for 5 more years of 4 playoff teams. And, you know, people react to this, and, oh, my goodness. To me, it's still not a big deal. I prefer the 4 teams. I've said this from day one. We don't need to expand the college football playoff. And it reminds me of Chris Farley and Billy Madison, right, when he was the bus driver in Billy Madison. You know, that Veronica Vaughn, right, and he goes on and on, I know from experience. And Adam Sandler says, no, you don't. And he said, well, not me personally, but a guy I know. And he said, no, they didn't. And he continues on, well, you can imagine what it would be like if they did. And then gets on the bus, no yelling on the bus. But the point being that you keep trying to move those goalposts, if you're Chris Farley in that movie, trying to make your case about you and your relationship with Veronica Vaughn. And it's similar to the college football playoff, where every year I think we get more and more proof that you don't need to expand the college football playoff. And I think we're getting more proof this year with how chaotic this season is. By year's end, will it really be worth it to put the 12th best team in college football into the playoff? I mean, right now, Michigan is right outside. Do we really think Michigan is a playoff team so far? A lot of those teams that are battling for what would be the final spot or two in the college football playoff. Is it worthwhile? If you've watched college football this year, do you come away thinking like, wow, there are 12 really great teams? I don't know if there's even 3 really good teams. I still have questions about Alabama and Georgia at the top of the sport. Do we really need 12? And then many will say, right, well, the group of 5, they don't have a chance. This year they will. Cincinnati plays Notre Dame this weekend. It's one of the biggest games of the year. And if Cincinnati wins, they're favored on the road against Notre Dame. If they win that game and they run the table with how chaotic it's been this year, I do think Cincinnati will be put into the playoff if they're undefeated at year's end, because this season has been so chaotic. The ACC, I don't see a playoff team there. Pac-12, I don't see a playoff team. We thought, maybe Texas A&M. No, probably not at this point. Right, in the SEC, where they really put 3 SEC schools, do we really need to expand the playoff? If you're concerned about the group of 5, well, here comes Cincinnati. They may make it this year. And so it reminds me of Chris Farley when he kept moving the goalposts, where he says, you know, I know from experience that Veronica Vaughn, oh, well, actually, it was a friend of mine. Oh, well, actually, it was just my imagination. It's the same idea here. Like, do we really need to expand to the 12? Well, what about the group of 5? Well, here comes Cincinnati. So you can't use that as a reason anymore. Because if Cincinnati runs the table, I do think they'll be put into the playoff this year. They just have to beat Notre Dame this weekend. We've talked about embarrassing injuries before here on the show, especially whenever they pop up in the sports world. Baseball always gives us the most embarrassing injuries. The Cubs had a pitcher injure himself washing dishes last year. Had to miss some time. John Smoltz tried to iron his jersey as he was wearing it. I had to miss some time. Well, I have my own embarrassing injury now. I've been working injured today. I've been a game time decision. I was probable, not questionable, probable. Here I am working. I hurt myself, and it's such an embarrassing story, but I'm willing to share it with you because that's what we do around here. I was jogging up the stairs. This happened last week, just before I went out of town for a wedding. It was after the coach's show last Wednesday, and I was jogging up the stairs as one is prone to do. I was feeling athletic, feeling good, and I took a misstep, and I went down, and my finger just hit at the perfect position that it got knocked out of whack. Got knocked out of place, my pinky. So now it's pointing, right? It's like doing an out route, pointing at a 90-degree angle. I had to go to the hospital. They had to set it. It took multiple tries to reset my finger, and now I got the splint on, and the fingers are taped up. So we're playing injured. So I got my own now. I have my own embarrassing injury. And I realize I'm kind of getting a reputation here of being clumsy, unathletic, uncoordinated, and having these injuries. I almost broke my foot a few years ago running. And I had to go to, I went to the clinic at that point. This was the first time I've ever gone to the ER. So at that time, I really injured my foot. I was on crutches at the time. They thought it was broken. We had to do all these x-rays. They said, nah, it's just a really bad sprain or whatever the next thing is below a broken bone. People would ask, you know, how'd you hurt? Well, I was running. And I really hurt my ankle. I took a bad step on an uneven surface, and I hurt myself. Now people are like, oh, what happened to your finger? I was going up the stairs, and I fell. My goodness. So we're playing injured. By the way, you take your pinky for granted. I can't do anything with my right hand, and I'm a righty. I can't even write nothing. It's just your pinky. But it's very important. It's hard for me to just open a water bottle. So I have my own embarrassing injury. But it won't keep me from coming here and talking sports for 3 hours, because that's what we do. I feel like a tough football player right now. Hour 3 coming up next with Lee Sterling. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.